You came in after Carl Vandegrift as general manager, is that right?
Right. Carl retired. I went there in the summer of 75, and I was there until about 2 years, the spring of 77, and I went to KYW. So it's a brief period.
I recall hearing you say that you really enjoyed working there, and you loved living in Fort Wayne as well.
Yeah, it was pretty hard not to enjoy being there. I mean, it was the CUME rating, which is the percent of population that listens once a week. We had a 65 CUME rating. That meant almost 7 out of 10 people listened to the station at least once a week. I mean, it was huge.
Wow.
When I left WoWo, the mayor was a guy named Armstrong, and he actually came to my office to say goodbye. Now, I don't know how many places that would ever happen, but
holy cow.
I mean, it's just how big the station was. It's huge, huge. So,
just share some memories you have of the station.
Well, just quickly coming to mind, I think probably the one that stands there, a couple that I think. One was I was there during the bicentennial, July 4, 76, and there was the big parade in downtown Fort Wayne, and Bob Sievers and Jay Gould were huge personalities then, and we had a float that was just basically the station wagon was pulling a flatbed trailer, and on it we had a shed we borrowed from Sears, and WoWo salutes agriculture, America's first industry, it said, and we had some chickens on there and stuff. and I was in the lead in the vehicle that was pulling it. I just remember the swell of applause that as this thing came along, the bands and stuff, you could hear the applause begin to grow as Bob and Jay passed along these streets that were just packed with people. I mean, it was amazing, the outpouring of affection for these guys. It just was extraordinary to see that.
That's great.
Having all worked in bigger bigger markets would be the word, I guess. I remember when I first got there, it was in the Gaskins building at the time, and I remember walking back to the soft machine or soft drink machine or the men's room or something, and Bob Stevens' wallet and his camera were just sitting out on his desk.
Huh.
And I said, Bob, why are you concerned if somebody would? Because theft in radio stations is pretty common. I mean, there's a lot of stuff lying around. People are stealing tapes and radios and stuff. And he said, oh, no, nobody'd ever touch it. And that, there was a quality there that you just didn't see anyplace else. How people respected other people's property and Midwestern values, I guess. So,
I was up in that office there in the Gaskins building once, and it was kind of a well-worn facility, but but people seemed to still get a heck of a lot out of it, and the quality of the on-air sound was terrific.
Yeah, and that's where the world-famous fire escape came. Ron Gregory started that with the janitor, Bodie.
Bodie, that's right.
Bodie. Yeah, I'm in a process now of, I've always taken a lot of pictures over the years, and WoWo was doing my black and white era, and I'm scanning a lot of old negatives now. It's sort of fun. Every once in a while, a whole strip of pictures will come up of some event at WoWo with Calvin Richards was the promotion manager, and he did an on-air shift. And, softball games and the penny pitch and things like that. It was sort of fun to look at those old members.
Do you recall the programming staff at that time?
You mean the on-air guys?
Yeah, the on-air or off-air, either way, yeah.
Well, Chris Rathouse was the PD.
That's right.
Chris Randall was his on-air. Now, I understand Chris is, I don't know what I don't think he's living now. Neil McGinley was his the number two guy there.
Oh, sure.
And occasionally, I'm still in touch with Neil about once a year. I'll send him something. And Dick McDonald was the editorial writer. Dick has now gone to that great radio station in the sky. I remember he had a kidney transplant.
Yeah, I do remember.
Quite involved in that. Bill Fong was in promotion at the time.
Yeah.
Chris Claus was the business manager. On there, Bob was morning guy with Jay Gould, who did the Little Red Barn, and Sam DeVincent. Then Jack Underwood was the afternoon or midday guy. Chris Roberts, yeah, I think he was like afternoon drive. And then was Ron Gregory. Myron Marmelstein, or he had an unusual real name, but Ron Gregory was his name. Overnight, Ken Moore.
Yeah, they used to say his mother was Sears and his father was Roebuck, and he's Ken Moore.
I see. Oh, I never heard that before. Dan Friel was the sales manager, or general sales manager, and Bob Hendry was in sales. And so,
now, I've heard stories that during that era, and I guess this was at Chris Rathaus, if this is true or not, that he put a light, like a red light, in the studio, and when that light lit up, you were supposed to play the number one song. Do you recall something like that?
I don't recall that, but I do recall that there was a survey taken every week of like a dozen record stores around Fort Wayne, and the records were marked 1 to 10, and so they'd call whoever's store, and number one would be so-and-so, two-and-so. So the best score you could ever get would be a 10. It was the number one selling record in each of those 10 stores, or however many stores there were.
Mm-hmm.
And the only song that ever made that ideal list was that song about Convoy.
Convoy, right.
Remember? We're going to get...
Sure, the CB radio thing, right.
He must have played that. I mean, it got to the point where I was going to rip the radio out of the wall. It was like, here it comes again. But it got this huge, out of a novelty record or whatever it was. So we played the heck out of that one. But whether it was, I don't remember a red light. It could have been, but I don't remember that. That was an interesting sort of a battle there, you know, the contemporary music versus what today we know as more of a news talk kind of a station. I mean, its image, I think, was more news and information than it was music. But anyway, that was the times we lived in then.
Obviously, WoWo was dominant. Do you recall who the competition was at that time?
No, you know, I don't really. It was like we were playing in a different arena from everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
There was a time when the FCC used to collect financial figures and publish them. Do you remember that time?
Yes, I do.
You would submit your, you know, your sales and your revenues, or your sales and your costs and profits and stuff, and they would present a market report. The four-way market was worth X millions, and there was X million in sales and whatever. And at that time, if my memory's correct, WoWo actually made more money than the market made. So there were people operating at a loss in the market.
Holy cow.
I mean, the revenue wasn't huge. I think it was only in the range of like $3 million or something like that. But the profit margins were enormous there. A lot of it came from agricultural business. I remember Dan Friel was nervous about raising rates on the Little Red Barn. And I said, you know, it's really the only game in town. And we jacked him up to what we thought was an astronomical number. And you know what? Nobody blinked an eye. The money just kept coming in.
Wow. You were obviously a big guy at Group W Radio. And what was the relationship of WoWo to Group W? Was it sort of used as a farm station, so to speak, to groom people for the bigger markets?
There was ever any stated policy about that, to my knowledge. But I think that's where, certainly in my case, because when I went there from KDKA, it was like, well, you learn to be the general manager, man. And that was in the days when there was actually a policy manual. Remember that? I mean, you wouldn't find one of those anywhere in America. They had them, right?
Yeah, and, I do remember that. There were reports you had to do every month.
Yeah, monthly reports, and the license renewal was huge. I mean, it was just like, give me another license. It was like you really had to document. It was a whole different era. So there was, I think in some ways, today's GMs who run multiple stations, it's more about sales, I think, than anything else. But at those old Westinghouse days, it was about community service and protecting the license. And I think this company really genuinely believed in service. Well, you know that.
Sure.
Genuinely believed in, you know, you're privileged to have a license, and, you know, you better make darn sure you live up to the responsibilities of it. So, do you remember when Dan Ritchie took over the company? He did an employee survey.
Yes.
you like it here, blah, 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 whatever. And there were grades given. And I remember that when I ended up in New York, one of my first jobs was to kind of go around to the stations that I was responsible for and to give the results of that survey. And Wovo had by far the highest score. I don't know what the rankings were, but, I mean, it was way out of line with everybody else. So I not only had to give them the results of the report and thank them for the feedback, but then tell them the station had been sold.
I know. Oh,
yeah,
boy.
They were sold to a guy who had been the assistant mayor of New York, Bob Price.
Right. Were you president of Group W at that time?
Well, I was never president of Group W. I ran the AM station group.
Okay.
But Dan Ritchie and Dick Harris decided, I don't know if that's when consolidation had, you know, if the limit had been lifted at that point or not, but I went to New York in 81, so it was sometime around that time. And I think they sold it for $5 million. And that's when the company, because remember McGannon never wanted to buy FM stations?
Yeah, I do remember.
I mean, it was kind of like, because they couldn't be the big, all news, important things like the full service, the BZs and the KDKs of the world. But that's when the company started to buy. They bought some FMs, I think, in Houston or Dallas or wherever. So,
I actually met McGannon once. Well, I was just starting with Group W, and he said, do you have any questions? And I said, why did you sell WBZ-FM? And I think he got mad at me, and he didn't want to talk to me at that point. He said, well, it was nice meeting you.
Yeah, well, he was, every time there was a company meeting, and I started in 57, so that was a lot of years ago.
Wow.
Sometime in the 60s, it became apparent that FM was going to have some legs under it. He was asked that question, the perennial question, and he always, that's the answer that he gave that stuck with me, but apparently he got tired of answering it when you got to him, so. But obviously, he gave away KYWAM, he sold BZFM, and, you know, there were a lot of opportunities there that were, he just didn't see it. It wasn't his view of radio.
Warren, why did Group W sell WoWo? Was there a clear reason that you recall? Did it just not fit the profile or something?
I think it was for the money. They couldn't see any major improvement. I mean, it was like, sort of maximizing what it was making, mm-hmm. and I don't think it was ever going to get a lot bigger. Like if you looked at a KYW or a Wins, for example, you know, those stations had maybe that, you know, some future growth. Turns out that was correct, but WoWo wasn't really going to get a lot bigger, and I think the company just felt it was time to be in more major markets.
Right.
So, you know, and Price came along and offered them, I think the number was $5 million, but I'm not certain of that. It was probably 4 or 5 years worth of profits. And so, you know, why not take it and do something else with it? The sentimentality was, that's probably not the right word, but it wasn't like, WoWo was kind of like part of a different culture, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like only a Westinghouse would own a WoWo, you know? but it was part of their culture. And, you know, by God, we're going to hold on because we're big enough to be in a small market,
yeah,
kind of a thing. And I think once you put a pure business mind to it, that went away.
But I heard, though, at several points that based on the margin, that it was the most profitable station in the company.
On a percent of margin, it was. At that time, KDKA and WBZ were the big guns. They were really cranking out major dollars. And WoWo was kind of like, not in terms of a sheer number, but as a percent of sales, it was pretty high. In fact, may have been as high as those stations. But the market just wasn't that big. It just, there wasn't the growth going to be there.
Right, right.
And then once KDKA and BZ and the full service model began to decline, All News came along. And I mean, when I was running the AM station group, I mean, if you took All News out of the picture, or even WINS out of the picture, there was no radio group. I mean, it was like everything else was small change.
Wow. If there was, I guess, one thing that you remember about WoWo that maybe made it different from all other stations that you worked at, what would that be?
Well, it would simply be the people that worked there. I mean, these people loved the station. They love what the company stood for. I mean, people would wear their, Westinghouse used to give out service pins. I don't know if you remember those or not. I mean, and people would wear those to work. I mean, there was the commitment and the loyalty, and they would just do anything for that radio station. It was just, it was the most incredible workforce. There was nothing you could ask them for. They just wouldn't want to do. It was as close to a family as I've ever seen in a business where there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
It was, I thought it reached its peak at WoWo. It was just, that was just incredible.
Yeah, I agree. That was my experience there, too. And I think that's what motivated Randy to want to do this website, mm-hmm. because of that feeling, you know. So.
Yeah, it was a magic station. That was I'm glad I had a chance to work there.
Yeah. I was glad to see in the latest ratings it's back up to number one in the market, so that's nice
Good.
To see. Yeah.
That's great to hear.
Yeah.
I was just real quick, though, I'll finish. I was driving out. We have relatives in Iowa, and I was driving out there a couple of years back, and I was listening to WoWo, and which, of course, doesn't have the signal now that it used to have. But
right.
So this guy named Morgan in the morning,
okay.
and I got on, I was listening, and I kind of tuned in just as he was finishing up a story about something Tiger Woods had done on the golf course, thrown a club or something. And I said, gee, I'm interested in that story. So I dialed the state. I picked up the cell phone and called the station to ask what the story was, and next thing I know, I'm on the air. No screener, nothing. It's amazing. And, oh, hi. How are
you? Did you tell him that you used to work there?
Yeah, you know, got a big yawn. I don't know.
What are you doing now, Warren? Obviously,
I'm working part time for, and I'm still with the traffic people. It's more like an office. I just like to keep my hand in a little bit. You know, I'm pretty close to the intercom people. You remember Steve Fisher?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, Steve and I actually had lunch today, and Chris Claus is down in New Orleans. So, I, you know, this guy, we go back a lot of years from the old Westinghouse, and Roy Shapiro.
Oh, sure.
You know, we all live in Philly, and we all play golf together and stuff. Life's been very good to me, so I have no complaints, Chris.
Oh, that's great. I'm so glad to hear that. Well, thank you, Warren.
All right, Chris.
Take care.